Mr. Coronado?
Over here in the window.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Present.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
They'll be here a little later, too.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
Take us to the next agenda item, please.
Board workshop, board members' attendance to the CISD strategic planning session, presenter Gilbert Moreno of Prestige Consulting.
All right. Am I up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Am I on?
You're on.
You? I will give you 2 more minutes to enjoy your meal in peace while I finish this one last piece, and then we'll be ready to roll. What's up, Beck?
What's going on, guys?
How you been?
Good.
How's the baby?
Depending on what day it is.
Really?
Or what night.
Is your wife not working right now?
Yeah, she's not working.
No? How's she?
She's doing good.
Good?
Yeah. She's hanging in there.
Gotten over the cough?
Yeah.
Good.
Was it the formula?
I don't know. Well, the baby's breastfeeding, so.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, I guess
but
I
we put
the
gas drops in the bottles.
It still makes
doing
yeah,
better.
It still makes them cold. I don't know why, but I don't.
We don't have to deal with it. I think I hear it's warm.
Yeah.
I think my husband's still calling.
Go to second voice.
Yeah.
That was good.
Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. You know, when I look at that dais, I kind of think of the seven of, or the eight of us, and how we come together as a team, and how, not only how, but the need for us to come together and work together collaboratively as the team of two, one being the board and me being the superintendent. One of the questions is, why aren't I leading this? Well, part of the strategic planning, the strategic thinking, is being part of the process. And when you're facilitating the process, you're not really in the process of the thinking. And so I guess what I'm asking is that this is about thinking, and this is about planning, and this is about what's doing right for Town Deal, as you all have always done gracefully. And so one of it is bringing Mr. Moreno Gilbert here from Prestige Consulting, who's, I think I sent his references to you all, who has done EPCC, EPISD.
You name the district, we've done it. Most recently, we just finished the mayor and the new council. El Paso Community College, Region 19 Head Start here locally. Charter schools, private schools, you name it. Then work from literally from Seattle to Miami with school districts from early childhood education to the university level. So, but this is the important place to be.
Thank you, sir. And again, for me, it's just to be part of the team, be part of the thinking, be part of the planning, and not facilitate. So I'll leave this.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. I know you've had a long day, so I'm going to try to make very good use of everybody's time. Today is really about the kickoff, as the name implies, an introductory workshop. And because you're the leadership, really important to kick off, and we'll work through the why and the what of a strategic plan. I used to work for IBM and got called in every time the lawyers would get a call from a client that says, would you like to take your multi-million dollar mainframe computer back? Because it doesn't work. And what I would find is that many times it wasn't the technology, but the users of the technology that were the challenge in terms of getting things done. So that's how I inadvertently got introduced to the planning process. And not unlike many people, the place that a lot of people like to start is, so what are we going to do? Where do we get going? Why do we start the planning process? And I used to do a lot of that. Let's figure out what we need to do and lay out a strategic plan. And sometimes the plans wouldn't affect into an actual implementation. And that used to be frustrating for the teams that I used to lead and that sort of thing until I discovered that it's not so much the planning, but the thinking that goes into the planning that's really important. And so I think it was John Nesbitt who once said, you know, but anything worth doing is probably worth planning. But then he says, anything worth planning is probably worth thinking about. So for the last, 20 years or so, we've introduced the whole notion of STSP, as most people call it, the strategic thinking and the strategic planning process. And a copy of this is in your handout. But about 9 or 10 years ago, I was working actually in South Texas, Mercedes, with a school district, and started talking. We had actually a student in the strategic planning process. And, you know, the student very astutely asked, well, what is it that I'm getting out of this whole thing? And everybody looked around and said, well, what do you mean? I says, well, so of what value is all this whole thing? And it just started me thinking on the whole notion that it's not just important to figure out or plan what you're going to do. That's important. But it's not only important to also think. But more importantly, it's really a notion of not how hard we're working, what progress we're making, but what value. And as we talked, we like to call this value-based strategic planning, from vision to value. And you're going to hear those two V words over and over again as part of the process, because what we found is that when everything is said and done, those that you serve are the ones that have in their mind some conception or some idea of the value that they're supposed to get with their education that you have here. I tell students today that this is probably one of the most exciting times to be part in our community. There's a lot of good things happening. I grew up in Ranchland, across from Ranchland Hills Middle School. Anybody knows where that is in the Lower Valley? Maggie and Beto are still on 1138 Simon Street there, and blessed with a wonderful upbringing there. But I will tell you that when you take a look at the opportunity that we have as a community, it is just outstanding. I've had the pleasure not only working with school districts here locally, but I've been part of the consulting team that resulted in the development of the Borderplex, an organization that you're going to hear about called the Creed, that your superintendent is conversing with in terms of bringing the supply and the demand side. There are many things that are different and changing because guess what? The world that our kids are going into is much, much different than the world certainly that I went into as part of that. And even 5, 10 years ago. So I tell the kids, go home and thank your parents and thank the good man upstairs because you're born probably at the most exciting time in our community to do some things. The question is, how do we assume and embrace that awesome task or responsibility of building value and building that vision in the next leaders that we have? I mentioned to somebody, I've got 6 kids. Fortunately, 2 have come back. So I'm an example of pulling people back. One has his own business and one is working for a mentor as part of that. The real question here is how do we think as a region and what's the role that Canotillo is going to play? What's the role that Canotillo graduates are going to play with what is happening in our great community? I think we finally figured out we're not the enemy, that other communities, as long as Las Cruces, Juarenses, and El Paso work together, that we're able to take a look at that. So I've got the easy job, which is to work us through the process. That's my job. Your job is to help cement the thinking that'll cement the planning, that will endorse the value propositions that you propose to the stakeholders that you decide you serve. And there's some real obvious ones. Obviously, you serve who?
Taxpayers.
Our community. Taxpayers, our community,
children.
Students, children. You dictate how your staff also directly or indirectly, right, by your decisions in terms of what you're doing. So you have an awesome task, an awesome responsibility. The question is, how do we focus on bringing priority and bringing consensus on those things that are going to, when everything is said and done, build and deliver the value for all of those constituents that that you have as part of that. So what I'd like to do is just to get us rolling. You see something that looks like a tent card and there's a marker. You decide what you want to be called this evening. I had the Queen of England and the King of Prussia and what, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself, and I'll model this. You know, I like the culture that we have here because everybody has a sobrenombre. My dad was a 4-year veteran of mail carriers. He was a mail carrier. And he says, you know, I'll be honest with you, I worked with a lot of people. I never knew what their real name was because everybody had El Parralense, El Catarro, you know, I mean, everybody had their nickname as part of that. I'd like to know a little bit of your connection with the school district in particular. And then I'd like you to share with me something that you value in others, all right? When somebody calls me tricky, I know it's somebody from high school. And it's not because I was, you know, it was, one of my favorite basketball players, believe it or not, I used to play basketball. One of my favorite basketball players was Pete Maravich. Anybody remember him? Pete Maravich was very good at doing tricks with basketball, and so I try to fancy what I used to do, and so that I just donned that name with that. History with CISD, not, my personal history is not only competing, but I am fortunate to count on the Lomberg family as very, very good friends of our family. You named your stadium after Julius and Irene. But I got involved with them. I used to coach track and field, was a track and field official, and we had a track team for 14 years for the summer. And we used to have kids all the way from Gadsden to Bowie High School. We had one rule. Everybody has the same uniform. Everybody has equity in competition. Everybody has access to all the coaches. We don't care where you're from. And it was just a wonderful experience. And, of course, I need to tell you that we had very, very fond memories of excellent kids from kind of who used to compete with us. Something I value in others is dedication. And I know the type of dedication that, for example, you put together. I had the pleasure of serving for 8 years on the Water Service Board here, the Public Service Board. And I know that was a lot of, what that entailed, but it was such a rewarding experience in working with Ed Archuleta and his team as part of that. That's where I met Richard Castro, Mr. McDonald. For the first time he was chair, as I was serving with that as part of that. Okay, so we'll start over here. Decide what you want to call yourself, and we'll start with the introduction.
Start?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Hector Rodriguez. And been with CISD for about a
nickname, sir.
Oh, a nickname.
That you care to share.
When I was growing up, they used to call me Tito.
Tito? Oh,
Tito.
Great.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. He looks cute. Like a Tito.
We're not recalling you Hector again.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah, I should have
shared that. That's awesome. Yeah. So you're growing up, they call you Tito?
Yeah, when I was growing up, they call me Tito.
Awesome.
Yeah. And been with the CISD for about a year and a half as the auditor.
Oh, wonderful.
For the district. And then something that I value in others, I value knowledge and expertise. I know that I don't have all the information and answers, and so I look to other resources for their expertise and guidance.
Yeah, excellent. You find that we don't know it all. And getting knowledge and expertise is wonderful. All right, yeah.
I'm Laurie. I mean, there really was never a nickname.
But I like how you spell your name, though. There's an E at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, La Hueta.
La Hueta, okay.
Yeah, I get a lot of La Hueta. Thank you,
you
Kathy.
Get a lot of that. There
yeah,
you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Laura.
Yeah.
I've been here since I was, it seems like, just growing up. My history is I brought my family here and raised them. And
oh, wonderful.
Stayed, and I'm still here. I value honesty and
honesty.
Others.
Okay, excellent.
And it can be honesty that I did the wrong thing or honesty I did the right thing, but you're just honest.
But just honesty is something that you value, okay? If you get the tent card and decide what you want to call yourself, that'll be help them. All right, next.
My name's Patsy Mendoza. I don't think I want to share what people call me. My history with Canutillo is my grandparents were born and raised here. My parents were, and I have raised my family here. Oh, I worked for the district for 33 years, retired, and then came back a year later and ran for the board. The thing that I value in especially in this team is trust.
Trust.
We have to be able to trust each other. That without that, I don't think we have anything.
Very good. Excellent. All right. All right. Oh, I thought we had somebody in. Okay, Rachel, introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Rachel Quintana, and my family friends call me Ray.
Ray, okay.
Ray.
That's great.
Okay. Like Patsy, my grandparents were raised in Canutillo. They went to school in Canutillo. My parents did too. All my siblings, I'm the oldest of seven, they all came to Canutillo. My children all came to Canutillo. And now I have grandchildren in Canutillo.
Oh, wonderful.
And I worked for Canutillo ISD for 26 years, ran for board, quit my job. Now I work at a high school. So, I mean, education is very important in our lives. And
something
loyalty.
Loyalty? Okay, great.
To each other.
To
and to the district.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Very, very good. Thank you. As a part of that. Okay.
So my name is Adrian Medina. I'm going to give Hector Tito over there a little something to play with. They used to call me Weddo when I grew up because I was born blonde and blue. Go figure. If you look at my baby pictures, you're like, that's not true.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting.
My great grandfather was essentially responsible, it feels like, for populating most of the town. two wives, 17 kids, and you know, everybody went to Canutillo. Was loosely related to Patsy and Mondo. Everybody's kind of
yeah.
I couldn't date anybody in high school.
Yeah.
Anyway. or Grandma Ward to ask who the parents.
Yeah. Ask who the parents. That's awesome.
My mother, my uncle. Graduated from here. My wife's father graduated with my mother, so it's very close-knit. I graduated with my wife from Canutillo, and now our child just started Canutillo this year with kindergarten at Canutillo Elementary, where I used to go for Head Start. Yeah. It used to be a Head Start building a long time ago where they knew Canutillo Elementary.
Wonderful.
And something I value in others is patience. I have none.
Oh, yeah.
I have none. I wish I had patience. I deal with computers, and usually they're pretty fast. People are slow.
Yeah. That's part of that, yeah. So when computers aren't working, yeah.
You can fix a computer, you can't fix a person.
as quickly as possible.
Yeah. You can turn off a computer, in fact.
Yeah. 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 Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Letty.
That's my name. I don't have any nicknames, but I probably have nicknames throughout the district.
Share.
That's great.
History with CISD. I was working in the district for 23 years.
Wow.
I also left the district when I was elected for a board member. I worked for surrounding district.
Yeah.
And I value sincerity. And I have little tolerance for people that are very patient.
I feel it, don't you?
That's awesome. All right, super.
I'm going to call myself a hot tamale. That's subjective. You know, my history. history with CISD, you know, I came June 3rd, so just starting, but, you know, my family's, my children go to school here, my wife works in the community, so it's a history that I'm looking forward to seeing it through. Humility.
Humility, okay. Very good. And part of that?
I'm Ramon Morales.
Good to see you, Ramon.
I actually am a guest, but I live down the street right here in Tennis West. I am the head of school at St. Clement's Parish School downtown.
Yes. That's where we met. I was trying to figure it out.
I really think that. I don't know if I want to share my name, my nickname. But I went from Monchi to Mon.
Okay.
Yeah. My name Ramon.
Ramon, yeah. Monchi's real popular.
Yes. At one point I was Ray Ray.
That's my granddaughter, Ray Ray.
Oh, is that right?
Her name's Rachel.
Rachel.
To this day, my youngest sister, who was the only one born in the U.S., hey, Ray Ray. Why is she calling you? But I think that for me, what I value the most in individuals is that the sense of giving of self, you know, the
yes.
generosity that I think many board members I believe have, because there's not a lot of pay, you know, monetary or otherwise, but just giving from the heart, true giving, not expecting anything in return. I think that's critical for us to work together.
You know, that's an interesting observation. I have had the chance to live in four other communities and come back to El Paso, and I've heard this from other people, that people from this region have a very giving heart, volunteer spirit, a sense of service learning, that sort of thing. And I teach part-time at UTEP, and I see that in the UTEP kids as well as part of that. And that's something that we should cherish as an asset to the community. So I'm glad you brought that up. Ray Ray is part of that. Armando, good to see you again.
How's it going? Armando Rodriguez, my nickname, or my past nickname from my cousin Ivan used to be Mandito.
Mandito.
When I was in
Mandito. Good to see you.
When I was in Little Town Dukes, they used to call me Little Beaver, not just
Little Town.
Paul said it was the Little Beaver. Town Ducks.
Just had a loud car, that's all I remember.
My history with CISD, my mom graduated in 1970. My family has, pretty much all of them have graduated in Canotillo, and now it's my nieces and nephews, and soon my kids will be graduating from Canotillo, so it's become a tradition. And something I value. Huh? don't remember last time what was.
I'm laughing, you don't have anything.
Last time it was like my kid or something like that. Everybody. What I value.
Very benign, no.
You know, I value hard work, honesty, character.
Okay.
I really value character. You know, you could tell between human beings if they're in it for themselves or if they're in it for the common good. And if they're in it for the common good, then I think, you know, it's ready. Let's move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And so these are, we'll come back and reflect on these elements. They're very consistent with what other teams, certainly not only across the country, but here in El Paso, have done that. I like this cartoon just as a reminder that, let me applaud you. I know you've got other things to worry about and that sort of thing. I'm going to put you in charge of this district. That's the role I want you to play. And in taking that perspective, You know, our mission here is we think through and plan through is to deliver on that value proposition that we're going to talk about. So in working with the super and his team, so what is this all about? What are we trying to do here? We're going to create a strategic plan. And some of this is consistent with the verbiage that you see on your website. What are you telling the world? We want you to be a premier school district and continue to do that, providing high-quality, innovative educational opportunities. How are we going to do that? It is really enhancing your strategic value and intent in terms of what we're doing. And so the process that we're going to go through is the four R's, reflect, review, refine, and resolve. Then what is your strategic direction? And we'll talk a little bit about, well, what does it mean to be strategic here in a second, relative to, building all the readiness quotients that people are looking at your kids, your readiness and academic readiness, you know, all the pressures that you have, new TAIS system, talking about, accountability from an intervention perspective. A lot of things to think about, both from a policy perspective, but also, more importantly, from a leadership perspective. And if you all agree that you don't have all the resources, certainly all the time to get things done, I'm glad patience was listed up here because sometimes the community, sometimes we ourselves get impatient with how fast things move or can move or need to move in terms of some things to take advantage of the environment that we have here as part of that. So this is the whole idea of what we're doing all about. And today, as part of this introduction, we're going to start a four-step process. First, I want to introduce what do we mean by this value-driven strategic planning? Because it is different probably from most other experiences that you have doing strategic planning. And we've had a lot of success working with not only educational institutions, but other for-profit and non-profit institutions with regards to this whole notion of two flavors of value that we're going to talk about. Then we want to share with you the rollout plan. We've got a plan that we've put together as a recommendation, but we've got a decision point. And then we're going to start the process of assessing where we are today by introducing a couple of tools. One is the truth card tool that we built about 14, 15 years ago that some organizations, in fact, including Head Start here in town, uses religiously every year to do an assessment. And because it's an opinion, we want to figure out what's the temperature relative to what you're thinking on four key terms. And then we'll start the process of doing some visioning by building something that a lot of people call some affinity diagrams as part of that. And then take a look at some final reflections and map out where we're going to go as part of this. This is your session. This is something a teacher from Denver, Colorado put together for us a couple of years ago. One subject at a time. We have a tendency to talk in acronyms, as I do. So if I mention something, please stop me. Let's clarify what we're going to do. Everybody should participate. You're all in charge of where this district is going. Disagree, but not be disagreeable. Can't throw the markers at the facilitator, especially if you're in good aim. And then silence means concurrence. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to assume that you're comfortable with what we're doing. But take comfort that as we're building this strategic direction and the strategic intent, that take comfort with the notion that it should be a working plan. And by definition, if we're working on it, it's going to change over time. And then make sure that your voice is heard as part of this whole process. So if we come up with something that we can't resolve today, we'll do the proverbial parking lot flip chart to honor the request or the question or whatever. And I'm sure that with the superintendent's outstanding staff that we will pursue resolving or getting any question or any issue answered as part of that, right? Are you comfortable with these ground rules in general? Están en su casa. This is, I want you to feel comfortable with what you're doing. Everybody comfortable?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, I had about half of you said yes. So for the rest of you, silence means concurrence. I'm just going to assume I love the way that works every time. You can dream it, you can do it. So let's talk a little bit about what do we mean by this value-driven strategic planning, all right? I asked you a question. You did a wonderful job of asking me what you value in others. And many of you have been part of great teams sports teams, debate teams, work teams, professional teams. Think about that one team where things just clicked. I mean, things were clicking, things were getting done. It was even fun working at it. Could be in a classroom, could be professionally in the different lines of work that I've read that many of you have as part of that. So what I'd like you to do is to share with me, what are some of those characteristics of a high-performing team? Anybody?
Goal focus.
Goal focus.
High expectations.
Okay, two things. Let me grab. Goal focused. High expectations.
Accountability.
As a piece of that, certainly accountability to what or to whom?
To all.
Both the team and those that you're serving, those that you intend to serve
what
as part of that.
What the overall goal is.
Yes. What else? What else is the mark of an outstanding team?
Challenging the status quo.
Challenging the status quo. In other words, there are. If we know that there are things that need to change, sometimes tied to high expectations, that you're willing to take the risk. All right. Great leaders take people where they want to go. Outstanding leaders take people where they don't necessarily want to be, but ought to be, as part of that. To paraphrase a famous quote. So, as we take a look at these outstanding teams, what else is a mark of a great team? Yes.
Unity through communication.
Yeah, unity with, and that's one great way to do that, right? Is through communications. Yeah, I saw some research where, and this bears out, we have a tool that we're not going to use tonight, but called a culture audit. And one of the 10 questions about, well, how good a job do we do? Communications always comes up as in the top three as an area to that you can always improve as a team. And whether the team is a family, a whole district, a classroom, a professional learning community of teachers, whatever that is, there's always an opportunity to improve that. So what else makes for a high-performing team?
Capacity building.
Capacity building. What do we mean by that?
It's like leadership capacity building. Titleless.
Titleless.
Titleless, not top-down.
Yeah.
Or you're building leaders.
Yeah, that's key. A key element is part of it, both within the team and as you're building. Yeah, we've noticed that we've spent a lot of time the last 5 to 6 years in, we work with nonprofits, we work with school districts, we work less with for-profits, although we've got probably 20% of our clients. But we notice that succession planning is a theme that just comes up over again. As you develop talent, guess what? That talent needs to be challenged, and there may be new responsibilities, even within the organization, or guess what? They may leave. The average worker today, getting out of college, will experience how many jobs in their lifetime? What do you think?
6, 7?
Yes, 7.2. 7.2 jobs. So this whole notion, when I heard on the IBM, somebody said, "Te rayaste, you've got a job for life."
That's what they say about them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, if that's true,
like
that's
government
one.
Jobs.
If that's true, you're one of the few institutions.
It's
you're one of the few institutions.
Starting kindergarten.
Is that a promise?
Yeah.
Is that a promise?
Starting in kindergarten and then.
Yeah.
But guess what? Employee loyalty to organizations has been eroding over time. In fact, I have a lot of friends still at IBM, and they get excited when they call me up and say, hey, I just got a 2-year contract. In other words, I've got a commitment from IBM for only the next 2 years as part of that. And that's not unusual, especially in a lot of high-tech companies, a lot of computer companies. So the panorama is changing dramatically for our students when they start graduating and working. In fact, I want to tell you one of the most exciting things, and coming back to El Paso, is that our students getting out of college, and actually even out of high school, are talking about running their own businesses. We never used to hear that 15, 20 years ago. I'll be honest with you, my dad, the only reason I left IBM is my dad pulled me aside and says, "How come none of you have ever thought about running your own business?" I never knew that was an option. In my family, my upbringing, my culture, that was never an option. And even though I had 17 great years with IBM, I will tell you that I wish I had left IBM earlier. Those of you that have run your own business know it's a 24/7, but it's very rewarding. It affords me things like, as an abuelito, spoiling my grandkids whenever I want or whenever I can. You know, that. So there's a lot of neat things associated with that as part of that. What else makes for a high performing team?
Well defined goals, specific
yes.
timelines.
Not only goal focused, but that they're well defined.
And specific timelines.
And that they're time activated.
Yep.
Okay, that's an excellent point. That there's time activated goals as part of that. But I've got to take a look at what is it that I do not only as within the team, but you know there's got to be a beginning and an ending or a target in terms of what we're doing is some adjustment. Anything else that you can think of that is a attribute of a high performing team, any that you've dealt with or participated in?
Their tasks are always
tied
to their vision.
Say that again?
Their tasks are always tied to their vision.
Yeah, we're not just busy, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're alluding to?
Yes.
That we're not just doing busy work, that the tasks and actually the progress and actually the results are tied to a, did you say vision?
Vision, yes.
Vision? And if I would be so bold to recommend, also tied to some sort of value, mm-hmm. right? That it's got to result in some sort of value of some sort, right? So these are all attributes of things that you've that you've had. And I've talked to many individuals that have done great, for example, in sports, and I've asked them, so who do you attribute this to? A fantastic coach? And sometimes yes, and sometimes no. There's teams that actually, in spite of the coach, are able to do outstanding things. So there's that self that drive that within the team that sometimes falls into that. I want to talk a little bit about culture and the culture within not only your district, but the culture that you have that you're building as part of the leadership team. So what is culture? It's really how things are done around here. You may be happy with the culture, but there may be some driving forces that need to affect changes as a result of the culture. And there's culture in each and every one of your classes. How many total classrooms do you have in this district?
Dr. G.
Ever guessed?
Mm-hmm. We were just told about 2 months ago.
So if you take a look at each and every classroom,
that Dr. Walker.
Is there some uniqueness to the culture in every classroom?
Different individuals.
Yeah, because you have different players, different individuals, different students, and every year it changes. You know that. How about a campus?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even in the same district, right. 2 miles down, the feel, the look, the attitude. You know, I love to do the smile test. The smile test is from the time I park in the school to the time I get to the principal's office, I start counting. And I will tell you, in our community, we have some schools where the kids don't smile. The staff doesn't smile, not even the janitor's smiling, okay? And I can go to a school 2 blocks down or 2 miles down, and it's just the opposite. So it's the whole way things are done that are part of that. It's kind of the attitudes, the beliefs, the behaviors, and the practices that are part of that. Now, why is that important? Culture impacts competency. That's an interesting word. What is competency? How is that different from skills or talents or attributes?
Does it impact competency? Because what if you have incompetent people?
Yeah. You have incompetent people because even though they may be skilled or may have the talent, they don't know how to make it happen. Does that make sense? So a competency is nothing more than the ability to apply a skill or a talent. And what we're looking for are not just skilled or talented students, but competent students. For example, how many of you have worked on a spreadsheet before? Okay, how many of you know how to use Excel? How many of you know how to use the interface to VisiCalc in Excel? Okay, so my point is I can keep asking questions. There's even different levels of anything, whether it's driving a car, managing a classroom, okay, running a basketball team. They all vary as part of that. So what Michael Zoell basically talks about is that there's nothing more beautiful for leadership to encourage, motivate, and develop people in terms of accomplishing their purpose and objectives in accordance to your values. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Michael Zwell's bestseller, Creating a Culture of Competence, then. And I love this model because I need to see simple things. And a triangle I can deal with sometimes. He talks about two things that leaders must paint. Okay, and the first time, it's been a while since I've been here, but you know, I did notice mission statement, vision statement, and some of the things that have been put in place. It's part of your strategic thought. We're going to review the things that you've done as part of that, because that's a normal course of taking a look at what you're thinking is important in terms of the vision and the value as part of that. And I will tell you that that's not true of every district that I worked with. I mean, some change over time. Some have some plans as part of that. But he says the glue that holds a high-performance organization together are three things. The culture, its competencies, and its leadership. Are you as a board required to do training?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Every year? ASB and all that kind of stuff? And why? Why do you think that's a requirement?
To keep you competent.
Keep you competent? And why is that important?
So you make good decisions.
Decisions based on many things, right? Things are changing. You've got to make trade-offs. You don't have all the money in the world. You don't have all the time in the world. You've got different priorities. All right. Is it possible, would you agree with the following, that not every initiative, every program, or anything that you start requires the same time, energy, or resource?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that not every initiative is going to deliver the same value. So as a leadership team, we have to balance two things. Where do we put our finite resources to maximize the value that we want to produce? And that's really what a value-based strategic plan is all about as part of that. So I want to talk about the two V words in the middle, vision, and I want to talk specifically about value. Value really comes in two flavors. Value is a principle, which is a lot of people call them guiding principles or core values, or it's basically how you make decisions. I asked you what you value in others. I didn't ask you what you value in this team yet, but you did reflect that there are some attributes of a high-performing team that you identified here that, guess what? These things right here are facilitated by what? Your ability to be honest and trusting and these things over here. Does that make sense? So there's a happy balance between value as a principle, okay, versus some of the things that then contribute to value as a benefit or an outcome. And these are the things that today most people call those value propositions. What are the things that we propose? What are the values that we propose? What is it that a customer gets? You've heard the quote before, price is what you pay, value is what you get. Doesn't matter if it's a car, a commodity, a service, or K through 12 education. What is it that you put in to be able to get out? You know, the role of parents, coming through the surface in terms of the roles that you have. I saw some research here recently that said that the one mitigating factor, the greatest mitigating factor of student success is not necessarily the culture, the school, or the resources. Okay, all those fall below 20%. The one major thing is the family and the home environment. I mean, you've seen the data, you've seen the statistics as part. So how do we take a look at maximizing then the proposed value that we have? And I kind of like this picture because basically what it says, and here's some examples of some core values. I get the sense that ethics is real important to you, that serving is real important to you, that improving what you're doing is really important to you, that providing an enriching learning environment is important to you, that doing things with the right quality and excellence is important to you, just based on what you've told me so far. These are the core values that allow you then to do these things over here. Students building their capacity, being college ready, academic ready, life ready, career ready, and all the ready stuff that we ask our students to be ready for as a transition into the world of work, all right? So value has two flavors, value as a principle and value as a benefit or as an outcome, and we'll take a look at that. I get asked all the time, so why aren't we doing this strategic thinking and planning stuff? Guys, it's a pain in the butt to, you know, go do. Well, here are three key things. You want to focus the organization. If indeed not every initiative is going to require the same level of resource, time, and energy, nor produce the same value, we've got to couple those two vision and value words and be able to make sure that we have the right support system. But we also want to engage stakeholders. And in fact, as we build your value proposition profile, I have an example of an actual live district's value proposition that I brought as an example over here. Yours will look, in some cases, similar, but there will be some uniqueness just based on the research that our staff that we've done, based on what we're hearing, the staff's made available some of your flyers and marketing material, and of course we got on your website, so we've taken a look at what you tell the world. But how do we engage stakeholders? You have stakeholders that want to get into your sandbox, but quite frankly, we have some parents that have one foot outside the sandbox and one in. We have some students that are in the same boat. We have some community partners that don't even know where your sandbox is yet. Okay, but I will tell you the dynamics of what's changing in our community. One is bringing the supply side, the education side, and the demand side, those that are supposed to be creating the jobs, that's coming together. And the question is, what's the role that we're going to play? My challenge to the superintendent was that this possibly could be the first district that aligns itself to the new economy being built for this region. It's in the process of being defined, led by the Boardplex and by the chambers and the other groups. We need to make the connection between that talent that you're producing and how do we connect that to the regional economy that we've got as part of that. So another reason to do this, effective communications, and I like the three F's. It's effective if it's fast, factual, and frequent. And it's interesting that you mentioned communications as an element of a high-performance team as part of that. All right, so what is this process about? So how do we get this thing done? Well, first and foremost, I put you in charge of this district. That's the perspective I want you to take, all right? Armando, ready to do that? This is your baby. You're actually going to work together. We're all pulling the same load at the same time. So whose job is it to create this culture of competence? Well, it really takes four steps. One is, and we're going to start that this today, is where are we? A lot of people call this a community assessment or environmental scan. But what's happening within your district that's important for us to consider?
Change.
Okay, change. What's happening outside the district
change?
Yeah. Such as new hospital on the west side?
Growth
on the west side?
Investment.
Housing?
Yeah.
Diversity?
Diversity. Added accountability? Strong relationship with the community college? We just did their plan, and they're anxious to connect with you guys. The need to share resources, leverage resources, reduce the tax burdens, all those things are examples of things that, guess what, get driven by where you are. And so we'll start that whole process. It's really asking the question, what should we consider? The next step is the thinking piece. And we've got five things that we're going to work with you to refine your typical vision, mission, these core values that we talk about. And then we're going to define something that a lot of people have a lot of fun with, non-negotiables. I'm going to ask you about, as we go work through the process, what are those things? But we're going to create a value proposition profile unique to this district, because nobody told me that you don't want to be that premier school district that we talked about in the premise statement. Is that correct? Can I go on the assumption? The best, the most competitive, the one that produces the best value.
The leader.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got high expectations so far as part of that. All right? Then the third thing is getting down from what I call the 30,000-foot level sky clouds and then putting a stake on the ground on some very specific strategic goals with some specific measurements. And guess what? The last but not least, in that hopscotch, accountability. The first things I told the superintendent, I can't work with you if you don't commit to an accountability plan. Not a problem. I can't work with you if you don't commit to a communications plan. Not a problem. Okay? So, are we okay with an accountability plan?
Yes.
Okay, in fact, it's in this process that we're going to show you how to make your ideas, your thoughts, and your strategies, how to transition them into implementation. We're going to introduce some concepts as to how to make that happen. I saw this quote recently. I loved it. Worthy journey for leaders to undertake. There's little more worthwhile than to help people improve themselves, work together, satisfy the needs of others, and greatly improve organizational performance. Is that your district? That's what we're about? Mm-hmm. That's where we're going as part of that. All right. So I ask you a question. What is your organization all about?
It's about the kids.
Okay. What about the kids?
It's about providing the best quality education.
Okay, quality, I heard safe.
Differentiated instruction.
Differentiated question, instruction.
Quality teachers.
Education.
Quality again, education. I would suggest that all of that, quite simply, is you're creating, adding, delivering, sustaining value. The question is, how do we mold those into an elevator speech of some sort that people can embrace and get excited about in terms of what we're doing? All right. So you'll see this again as part of that. Now, in your handout, my staff, I believe, let's see what color. They love using this color paper.
Pink.
Pink. A sample ISD Valley proposition. In fact, this is some actual work. For this district, they identified three key stakeholders: students, parents, and school staff. They actually came back and did another one for business partners, community partners, etc., because they figured out that they don't have all the resources. So what you see in this district for the students are examples in the last column of value propositions that impact their students. And their value proposition in this district for the students is focusing students to life pursuits, enhancing readiness for life success, and building a strong college-going mindset. All right? How are those manifested? Well, let's take a look at the third one, building a strong college-going mindset. Nurturing student appreciation of the value of college education, enhancing an ability to pay for college and higher education as part of that. There's other elements associated with that, but these were the major themes that evolved from that. So by the end of this process, as we go through the strategic thinking, Canutillo Independent School District will have its value proposition. And guess what? It will be your words, your thoughts, and your ideas working in tandem with the superintendent's, he calls it his leadership team, right? The leadership team, the cabinet, et cetera, is part of that to be able to take a look at that. But I just wanted to give you a little flavor of where we're going with this value proposition. Now, why is this important? Once we're able to do this, two things can happen. I can take your strategic goals that we're going to define, which is where most people, you know, start, this strategic planning. I can take these goals, and as we define them, we're going to correlate them to these value outcomes and these value propositions. If there's a disconnect, then one or two things has to change, right? Either the value propositions or the goals. Same thing with your initiatives. If I think that college readiness and all you do to prepare your students for college is a strategic initiative for Canutillo, there's a whole series of things that you're doing called initiatives. What's an initiative? Basically, commitment of skinning your knees and your elbows, committing time, energy, and resource to get some. An initiative is only strategic if it delivers the value that you propose. Let me say that again. A strategic initiative, an initiative is only strategic if it delivers on the value that you propose. So guess what? We've got hundreds of initiatives dealing with college readiness in your district. Some require different levels of time, energy, or resource. Some are more effective than others. Some deliver different levels of value. Some have been going on for years. Some we've committed to but haven't started, but we've committed to as a board endorsed or whatever. We're in the process again. And then there's some other crazy ideas that somebody else may come up with. All right? FAFSA night, whose idea was that?
The board's.
Great. You didn't have to sign up with the chamber, right, to do that? I mean, it wasn't a, you know, all. So, that's an example of a commitment. You're using really some outside resource, but when you, what's the value of FAFSA night?
Connecting kids with finance.
Yeah. How do I pay? How do I pay for college? The number one issue for our kids showing up in college. Can, yeah, how do I figure out a way to pay for this? And we'll talk a little bit about that. So, as you take a look at this, what we're hoping to do then is with this plan is, and this value proposition profile here, is we have a way to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Are we creating value? Is it meaningful? Is it the best expenditure of our resource? And then even more importantly, you do not have to be the source of all resources, right? Okay, you're in the audit business, right? So you get to see life in this district from a perspective of resource, right? Resource consumption, resource rules, process, policy, all those sort of things as part of that, all right? And so as you take a look at that, you know, the question is, what are we hoping to do as part of that? All right. So let's first take a look, and then we'll get started with some of this environmental stuff. Here's the process that we essentially talked about. We're doing B1, the introductory workshop. And then we've got to make a decision about doing the rest of that hopscotch, the strategic thinking and the planning, the two workshops. And we have some options that we're proposing, that the superintendent is proposing for you as part of that. And in fact, the strategic planning piece, you know, we take a lot of pride in not only documenting and doing that sort of thing, but quite frankly, that's where the work just barely starts. We're very attuned to making sure that you're comfortable with an accountability plan as to how to implement. We're going to share with you what other organizations are doing to facilitate that as part of that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to very quickly go through some agenda, proposed agendas, so that you get a flavor of what we're doing. This is what we're doing today that you've already seen. This is what we're going to be doing from a strategic planning. We'll do a culture audit. If we have some time, I'll introduce a SWOT profile. But these are the five things, the vision, mission, core values, non-negotiables, and value propositions, which are a way to reflect where your strategic intent is. And let me tell you, this is probably the most important piece of work that you do, to share with those that can affect the delivery of value what you're thinking, what your priorities are, and what your value propositions are as part of that. And then in the second day, or the second workshop, is we'll prioritize and use a technique that we picked up from the Japanese, define some critical success factors so that we have a definitive set of goals, and then an accountability and a communications plan, all right? So again, our job is to work us through that. The feedback that we get is that we optimize the use of your strategic thinker's time as part of that. It's not a three-month process or a two-month process. We think a fairly efficient job of working through that. All right. So we'll come back and we'll revisit this. All right. How are we doing? Need a break? Okay. Vámonos recio. Okay. Let's do it. Assessing our current status. Here's a tool that we developed 14, 15 years ago. And let's see. Some people say I cannot do anything without bringing some dots out. And again, you're still in charge of this district. I want to get a sense of what your thoughts are. And because this is your opinion, all right, there's no right or wrong answer. And I'm going to do the board first, and then when we get to your leadership team, then we'll do the leadership team, because I want to separate that. So we're going to do the team of eight, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want your opinion relative to four things. I want your. Oh, did I give you less than?
That's all he needs.
That's all he needs. No, he needs four this time.
Gave him too many.
Now he's got. We'll talk about some rules about the dots here in a second. And here's four questions. From your vantage point right now, what is your opinion regarding your organization's ability to define your direction, understand it, promote it, and get people to buy in? Just your strategic direction. So I'm going to ask you from a value from 1 to 10, put a dot here. And if you think it's an 8, put a dot here. This is an integer exercise. In other words, there's no 7.5s or 6.1s or that sort of thing. Just pick a number. If there's already a dot there, we'll create a nice little frequency chart.
Put the dot up there?
What's that?
You just put the dot up there?
Yeah, hold on. Let me give you some more instructions.
That's why you only got 2 minutes.
Yeah, so that's the direction. The second one is, how good a job do we nurture the opportunities that are tied to that direction? Okay, and opportunities can be academic, could be financial, could be getting other partners with you, could be parental engagement. It's whatever you think is important. The third thing is that if you're not unlike any other district, the percent of your budget that's tied to salaries is what, 82-85%? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there? Okay, you're not different than most other districts. How good a job do we do, on a scale from 1 to 10, of motivating, supporting, growing that most important asset that we have, the human asset, in relationship to the opportunities in the direction? And then that, last but not least, how good a job do we do of providing the right support systems, everything from computers to training to whatever it takes to support these people that support these opportunities in relationship to the strategic direction? Does that make sense? All right. And as we do this, it'll give you a break to powder your nose and refreshing your coffee. So what I want you to do is put a dot, four dots. One here, opportunity, human assets, and support systems. And I'll leave the questions up there. Some rules about the dots. No relocating of somebody else's dot. Can't relocate, can't barter, can't lobby, can't cut a dot in half, and you're restricted to only four, and you can't put more than one dot on each diagram over here that we've got.
You can't cut the dots in half?
No, you can't cut the dots in half either. They have to be whole as part of that. All right, so let me have you do that. All right, let me have you do that, and then we'll continue with our next component.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you're going to be part of the cabinet, so we'll include the entire cabinet together.
Okay. Right. He's part of our team, too.
What's that?
He's part of our team, too. I'm
right at the middle. No, but I'll pass on.
Because he we're not like EPISD.
Yeah, I know. I knew that's what you were thinking. All right. So feel free to ask any questions about the four, but you know it's fairly simple. Where are we going? Do we serve as the right opportunities?
Are you going to take a break?
Yes.
Are you going to take a break?
Oh, am I going to take a break? Would you like me to take a break?
I'm just kidding.
You know, I hate to tell you this.
I'm just kidding.
I love doing this, and sometimes people have to say, yeah, finally! I like the way you think. The nurturing gift in you.
Hey, you can't put a half.
I don't care.
Okay, I move it up, actually. We'll move the number so that one half will be a two.
Can you remove it?
Put it to where it needs to go.
Yeah.
One.
Leave it to one. Sorry, one.
You said your niece is Ray Ray.
No. My granddaughter.
Oh, your granddaughter's Ray Ray.
They call me Ray, they call her Ray Ray.
Ray Ray, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to differentiate, yeah.
Come on, Mando.
All right.
The beef. Come on, little beaver.
Let me ask you a quick question. Where are you?
Okay. We have everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, we have everybody? Okay, observations about the dots.
I gave out more than six dots. Who didn't vote yet?
Who didn't vote? Everybody did?
There's six.
Manda, did you vote?
There's six.
There's six. Of
Super,
them.
Did you vote, or are you going to vote for the cabinet?
I'll vote with Kevin.
Okay, you vote for Kevin. Okay. All right, so we've got six. What are some observations?
We haven't defined. Are you talking about one or?
Yeah, either one. Okay. What is this an indication of?
That we haven't defined function? The direction of our district.
We don't know that there's
lack of direction. Yeah, I feel there's a lack of direction. Sorry.
So that's why the strategic thinking and planning is really really important. The question is, who's driving the direction definition?
We should.
Exactly. And there's going to be a lot of outside forces, internal forces as well. The question is, how do we go about creating a process that lets us optimize then the commitment of resources that impact then the direction of where we're going? Now, when we do the cabinet, it'll be interesting. I'm not going to show them the numbers yet, but then you can ask parents and you can do other groups. It's always interesting to see what the different perspective is as part of that. What does this tell me over here?
About the same. We have the same optimist over there.
Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting is the further apart these dots are, it's an indication of an opportunity to communicate.
Would you say that? How effectively are we working at capacity when it comes to opportunity?
Yes. That's an excellent perspective to take a look at. Do we have the process internally to, one, surface, but then do we have the capacity to respond to those opportunities that we have? I know that you had a meeting with developers, for example, a couple of weeks ago?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, or something like that. Okay, let me applaud you, because I don't know too many districts that do that or have done that as part of that. They have a role to play, right? They've got some expectations in terms of what they need to know what you're doing, and it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. What about human assets?
Wow.
Difference of opinion?
No.
And it may be because of your background with the district or where you see it. Okay? This is really dispersed, from 3 all the way to 9, which says that there's some cussing and discussing, as we call it,
cussing,
that needs to happen regarding how do we enhance the 85% of our budget? Okay? How do we make, you know, better use and optimize the talent that we have? And how do we take a look at rewarding the type of behavior that we need to optimize? Because guess what? You can't do this, and you can't do this if you don't have this supporting it. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then support systems. Very almost closely aligned. The optimist came in. All right. And again, some dispersion. So we have, and again, this is an opinion, so there's no right or wrong answer. But it's a good, a good place to start in terms of taking a look at where we're going as a district with regards to those four things. So strategy is important. Direction is important. Okay? Opportunity is important. How we fund those opportunities and resources, the role that our talent plays, and then, last but not least, certainly the internal systems that you have. So questions that I always get from the district, well, give me an example. Well, does the district, for example, have a technology plan on both the business side and instructionally that then drives instruction in the STEM area? That's high tech, high skill, high wage, that then produces career relevant opportunities, learning opportunities for our kids that are then tied to producing the next wave of STEM talent that our community is asking for. You see how those four things tie? So with some organizations, they really have a great plan of where they want to go, but guess what? They're resource poor and talent poor. Sometimes you have to go outside with partners to take a look at that. One of my favorite things to do with superintendents, especially new ones, is to ask them, let me see your partner in education list. Oh. And then he'll call somebody, and somebody will give them. Sometimes they walk in with, here they are. I'll get this. Okay, let's talk about What do you think is a real partner in education? Is it a coupon partner? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Versus somebody who is spending time with the kids in the classroom. Somebody who's committing to foster science fair. Let me applaud you. I saw the fact some districts don't have district science fairs. All right? Can you believe that in these days? All right? So when you take a look at that, you know, the question is, how do we take a look at that? Now, why is that important? Why is that question regarding partners important? Do they have a role to play in your success, your vision, and your value? Certainly as it relates to students, right?
They're to support it.
And they're also a source of?
Jobs.
Yes, and resources,
finances.
Right? Finances, opportunities, internships, you know, all those sort of things as part of that. I just finished my tenure as chair of an organization that you may or may not have heard of, Community en Acción. 60, 70 now members. And our mantra is our work's not done. All of you have been successful business owners and all that. Come on, you got to give back. You have a responsibility to give, because many have given to you in some form or fashion. So what's the relationship that this district is building with CEA, Community en Acción, and for example, the committee that I'm in, the STEM committee? What are we doing? Where are we partnering? Your geography is really, really an advantage for this district. Okay? UTEP's right there. Okay? When we do stuff in San Eli, Socorro, it's tough for the students to get over there. It's not tough for students to get here from UTEP. Okay? So how do we leverage all those relationships as part of that? How do you use outside resources for many things that you're not going to be able to or afford or have the talent to be able to execute on some of your strategic plan? So that's kind of the thinking and one of the things that we do. So because you're in charge of this district and part of this process, I want you to start thinking. So what's the direction? Okay, I will tell you, the superintendent gave me a blank canvas for this process. He didn't tell me, yeah, but this or yep, you've got a clean canvas. And we'll do a reality check on what's feasible, plausible, but what raises your expectations and stretches you. And that will be reflected not only in your value proposition profile, but it will be reflected in how you implement your strategic goals and what your strategic goals are as part of that. All right? So I want you to commit a year from now, or maybe 6 months from now, have the board do this truth card again, and let's see where we are. It's very, you know, real quick, put the pinky in the swimming pool and catch the temperature of what we've got as part of that. All right. Okay. Now, the next piece I'd like to have you do, and this is really for the benefit of the strategic planning team that's going to help us in those four hopscotch squares that we talked about. We're going to build something that are called affinity diagrams. And do you know that the current generation of students think that Post-its always existed forever? This is the guy that invented this had to sell 3M 5 times on the idea. This is the number one selling office product in the world today.
40 years old last year.
What's that?
It was 40 years old.
40 years old last year is part of that. And it was quote by mistake that he discovered. So I'd like you to take the Post-its. And here's the first thing I'd like you to do. We're going to take that direction piece as it relates to this district today and its strategic direction. I want you to write one thought per Post-it of what is it that you like, or what is it that we like about the district.
Per Post-it? One thought per
Post-it. One thought per sheet. I'm sorry.
We have to use
per
them
sheet
all
per
up.
Yeah. You don't have to use them all. You can come up with two or nine or whatever.
That's like a lot.
What do we like? What do we like? Yeah, I'm sorry. Everybody have a pad? What do you like?
I'm confused, only because you're saying strategic direction. There is no strategic direction at this point. At least in my sort of perception.
Okay, let me reword
back
that.
To perception.
Okay, good point. As it relates to our district, what is it that we like that should be part of our strategic direction?
More better.
Or it's in the planning stages.
Or the planning stages, yeah.
Do we, can I borrow a pen?
Yes. Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Use a marker and then they're going to identify me.
Yeah, let me.
I got it. Don't worry.
I got it.
You found one that writes?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I got to see both worlds.
Good friend, that's an auditor at UTEP,
WIT. Oh, I used to work over there.
Oh, did you? Yeah. You know WIT, Madeira?
Yeah, WIT.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Jeopardy music?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, who wants to go first? What do we like that we want to keep
us
in the plan?
I put a...
Okay.
Do we start putting them up there or what?
Yeah, why don't you share
my
yours?
Yeah. He was right.
He was diligent. Well, let's give me a couple, and then we'll keep going until we exhaust everyone
Go Mondo.
I go one, you go one, and then we vote.
Okay, right. that sounds fair. Okay, that way everybody has an opportunity.
Okay.
So give me one. What's something that you think is key and important? Again, you're in charge of this district.
I'll put the easy one: growth.
Growth. Okay, growth.
Look at it.
We like.
Ta-da.
So you like the fact that there's growth in what?
Student population, tax base.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That growth is, in fact, maybe the fastest growing part of the city.
Si, senor.
Sorry, you're next.
Is that daunting?
Sure.
A daunting task?
It's a good task.
I like our CATE program.
CATE?
Mm-hmm. Career and Education Technology.
Okay. All right. And what is it that you like about
That we are doing it.
How about, I'm going to help you just.
Yes, okay, great.
That we are doing it, that this gives our children, a second set of skills,
yes.
life skills that they can either continue with as their only form of life skills or they can add upon them, you know, as they go along.
Yeah, career readiness and being
yeah.
able. So stuff like career cruising program, is that something that...
No.
Used in this district? What do you use?
Our, would be our agricultural program, our HOSA program, our business professional program, our EMT program.
Yeah. How early do you ask your kids what they're thinking, what they want to be when they grow up?
Kinder.
Great.
When they're four. Yeah. And they better have the right answer.
They better have the right answer.
All right. Okay, it's part of that. Yeah, okay, so that's another one. All right? Okay? Who's next?
I'm next. What I like is the influx of business opportunities.
In
the district. When I see Hoover expanding all over the
place. Yes.
Or a little mom and pop shop. That means it's bringing more money in for our babies.
Okay, so there's a potential there. So we have business growth in the district.
Right.
Specifically in the district.
Right.
Okay. So influx of business opportunities in the district. I'm going to qualify some of these. Okay?
Well, I put opportunities, so I'll just put that.
Okay, another one? Okay, great.
I mean, all around we have opportunity.
Opportunity all around? Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, all right. Ray?
I like all the challenges of better education for our kids.
Okay.
The challenges that we're going to face.
As an example.
Well, that it's bringing new things like the early college.
Okay.
Different
ways to learning opportunities.
Which are challenging because
you
have to collaborate with the
yes.
EPCC.
Yes, yes, that you're sharing. You're sharing some resources as part of that. Okay. All right. What else? Who's next?
Our size. We're small enough to move, but big enough to...
Yeah, let me tell you, that's a competitive...
All right.
That is a competitive advantage.
Good money.
You can try, if I need to do something at your high school, which one?
Right. Anybody have growth?
The only one.
Just take growth.
Yeah.
Yes.
The only one is part of that. Okay, so you
right.
like...
No.
You like our size. And
no,
what you
I
like about your size is your... Ability, your nimbleness, ability to do
agility.
Something.
Agility, yeah.
Okay, agility, yeah, that's even a better word. Excellent.
And our geography as well.
Okay.
I have
geography.
Location.
On the next one, or next
yeah.
Well, no.
It matches geography.
Well, they're related, but.
Geography?
Yeah, right there. Yeah, we'll come back. Our staff will start getting your common themes as part of that. All right. You have another one? Competitive pay, okay. This is in relationship to other local districts.
No, I think wife hasn't complained in years.
We should lower the pay.
Hey! Our teachers,
very good pay.
You finally said something about your talent, right?
I had to.
That you love and you like your teachers?
Mine is close to that. The competitive pay with the new staff, I think we're starting to get
we're attracting a lot of high quality.
Okay, so this is from a quality perspective?
Quality
new staff? Okay. And this is when you say our teachers, what about the teachers?
They're very passionate, yeah.
Passionate.
Some of the most passionate ones I've seen.
They're talented.
At the elementary level.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got fine arts program and our kids in location goes with geography.
Okay, location, geography, okay. That certainly is a competitive advantage.
Right.
Armando's doing a fabulous job.
Isn't he?
Yeah. He's a
helper. Armando!
Fine arts program?
I have fine arts and I put sports too. We're actually kicking.
Yeah, we are.
We are.
Yes.
We're now in 158, by the way.
Yeah.
That's right. That. Changed last week, right?
They realigned. Our community.
Your community? Okay. So that's both parental and otherwise?
I put our community.
Our community. Who we are as Canutillo, I think we have
history.
We're the only ones in the county that has a bonfire. We have
a parade.
So you're talking about the traditions.
The traditions in the community.
And history is part of that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you talked about your kids as well.
But there's only like one family, right? Like Adam and Eve.
Students. Yeah,
which is like our, you know, the our students are past, and you know, like where we come from, you know.
Yeah, that there's a legacy. In fact, in your introductions, you shared the multi-generational tie.
Once an eagle, always an eagle.
Exactly, yeah.
Boss.
All right. Trying to get you in with it.
What do you have this?
Career focus.
Career focus. So that's kind of the Kate's.
Everything we do is for Kate. Everything we do is for
And that's getting a lot of attention relative to not just the whole readiness.
Leadership.
Leadership. Okay. That's both board.
Some of the stuff we've been talking about, bioliteracy and STEM, which is opportunity.
In fact, we had a wholesale change in leadership.
Yeah, I will tell you, STEM's an interesting phenomenon.
The last one is long-term. You had also said something we would like to see in our strategic direction, correct?
Yes.
And I would like to see the long-term planning. I've always wanted that 5, 10, and 20-year
direction.
Yeah. I can't say enough.
Short-term,
long-term. We don't know where we're going.
Yeah, short-term and long-term.
Point to
it. Yeah. Five-year. 10-year, especially if you take a look at the development plan, the master plan on the west side, the water plan that's out 25 years, all of those things are going to impact what you have. What else?
That's more like we want instead of
the right plan. Well, we would like to see is the way you take a look at that. Okay. What are some compelling themes that you have? And there will be ample opportunity when we get to the critical success factors to define.
The SAT, ACT?
Yeah.
For seniors?
Closing the gap. Is that what are we going to talk about? Let's say closing the gap. Is that under what we want? Is there another? I guess I'm not.
Yeah, you're talking about academic achievement.
What's the next on the presentation?
We can do that. We're gonna do the SWOT analysis.
I would say the one thing that it might be under students is our early college high school. I was never really a big fan of it, so to speak, until I heard one story and it just turned me.
What was that story?
I haven't heard it. I mean, I haven't heard that many stories, but all it takes is one. I know, and it blew me away.
Yeah. In fact, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the dynamics of how kids are paying for college. Industry is not going to college to interview 800 kids and figure out who they're going to hire. What they're doing now is they're finding the talent as young as first semester freshmen and using internships to get to the talent quickly, because there's not enough in some fields, especially the STEM fields, the science, the health sciences, definitely the engineering. So what's happened is that it's not unusual for students to have one or two internships during the summer and then a co-op where they quote and drop out. It's a good drop out. They drop out for a semester or a year, work for a company, as employees. What's the advantage there? They not only are getting money to pay for their college, but guess what? If they get to the co-op stage, they're typically offered a job. All right, and so those are some of the dynamics of what's changing with regards to those things. All right. So given, we're just trying to get a sampling of some of the things that are at the forefront of what you're thinking. All right. What is it, and this is kind of the second piece, what is it that we wish? What is it that we wish for the district?
Oh, we write it on
the page. Yeah, again, put it on the post-it and then we can come back. And what is it that we wish? As many as you can think through. Now you said I had them till midnight?
The last.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, no?
You have about 20 minutes.
we're doing good.
We competing now?
Yeah.
I need another several pads. I've got
to yeah, pull those out.
We need an uptown.
Yeah, that. I like it.
One, two, three, four, five.
Okay, so what do we wish? Who wants to start?
Letty goes first.
All right, Letty, we'll start on this side.
Do you want me to be there?
I'm still going.
New high school.
New high school? Okay. All right. It's gotta be part of the growth equation.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Technology enabled.
Technology enabled. Oh, yeah. Give me a little bit more. Technology enabled.
In other words, it's not something that we have to think about. It's always going to be there because it's going to be the future.
Both on the business side and the instructional side?
All across. Kids today are using stuff that won't be even used in the real world.
Exactly.
So how many did you have?
In all aspects.
All right. Okay. All right.
Good. Got the juices flowing. There's something in the water, which is great. Okay?
Still going.
Still going. Stop it. Yeah.
Okay. Great tax base.
Okay. So you wanna be able to, and that tax base is going to fortify your growth.
Yeah.
This is how we're going.
Just made our valuations in a couple months.
Rental involvement.
That's
hard.
Okay. The new TAIS system actually is going to put pressure on this district, as with all districts, to figure out how do you impact that. All right. You've got several.
Yeah, I do.
She's up to 24 now.
No, I'm just writing. All right. Six. No, five.
Okay.
Career technology educational facility.
Oh, facility. Okay. So
that's vocational. So I got
that's
that.
A strength.
Yeah. So we're not sending them to El Paso. We keep them.
Vocational strength.
So, yeah. So Vocan and Ray, you have one that looks similar to that.
Vocan career training.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Some of them.
Congruency of thought is an excellent thing.
No
so
spot.
You put those together. Okay, the high school is could be a part of that, right?
Oh, I got new high school too. Sorry.
Yeah, new high school too.
It's like go fish.
All right,
go fish.
I've got a salmon.
Okay. All right, Armando, what else?
Challenge the status quo.
Okay, so that's from a.
That's a lot of buzzwords. Come on.
You're on there.
Huh? Challenge the status quo.
Yeah, like get crazy. We're going to advocate for public
education.
Really
going to get crazy.
We're going to advocate for public ed.
Watch out, little beaver's getting crazy.
Okay, this is advocating for public ed. That basically says is that we got to create, now, it might be part of the tax base. It says if I'm advocating for public ed, I got to be able to
pay
all those individuals to what? Expose individuals to what?
What's actually
you didn't know Patsy and I took the elf
oh, okay.
Wood.
So this is
the
yeah, I see where you're going.
For what?
Evelyn Wood.
He didn't even know I stick it.
Change and challenge.
Typewriter.
All right. Okay, these are some kernels of brilliance that we want you to listen to. All right. You have another one?
typewriter.
GIS, right?
Okay. Data's important. So the layering of that is key. That's basically a data set.
Equitable educational facilities.
I have student equity.
Okay, so that's tied to that.
To the CMS.
It includes
well-developed community.
I have that too.
Community.
I have well thought out, well planned, and then developers need to donate school sites.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is to all of the developers.
Have a uptown.
What?
Uptown.
I would like to provide our kids with more summer recreational.
Yeah.
All they do is stay home.
After school too?
Yes.
And all the time.
Our school should be open at night for kids and parents and doing
the Xbox should not be the babysitter.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, Xbox and not be the babysitter. What else do we have?
I would like to see improve our food service.
Oh. Okay, look at you. Perfect. All right. What did we find out? The Aramark does everything down there?
Yeah.
There you go.
They even feed the kids dinner, for God's sake.
Cheaper too. Yeah.
I have early college infused at the high school.
You want a purchase setup?
Yeah, so this is got right around.
This is kind just of the infused type. Yeah. But actually, it's going around all districts.
All secondary teachers to be dual certified.
Yeah, I'm the guy. Yeah. Give us a heads up.
Yeah, this is.
Go away.
This may be the number one issue. All right. Challenge for the dual credit. Yeah. That you bring up a little bit.
No busing across major highways. Internal and external communication strategy.
Okay.
And a marketing strategy.
Top that.
See your fish.
I see your fish. Yeah. And we'll put the competition.
How about to become a model?
That's great. A model of what?
Quality education, not just in Texas, like but in the nation.
I'm too sexy.
What about providing more scholarship opportunities for us?
Oh.
See, that trumped your little model there.
How about grant writer?
There you go.
All kids having their own opportunity, whatever it may be.
Look for grant opportunities.
But you're talking about equity of opportunity.
Yeah.
He's
diversity, too.
Yeah.
Both diversity and equity of opportunity.
Absolutely.
Educate our community.
Come on, now.
Marketing on bond, on
quality,
making sure they understand.
All right.
Being transparent.
Like we have a developer meeting. What's the next step?
Yeah, I'd like to know what the next step. You got any more, Mother? Are you still writing, man? Now you're just making stuff up.
Transparency and then closing the gaps.
Yeah,
buzzword. Good news, community. Good news communicated to our community quickly.
What about the bad news?
Constant communication.
Actually, there's two.
Bueno.
Bueno.
Too bad these aren't color coded. But.
Okay. All right. And you're starting actually to do some visioning. That's part of this thing. And what's going to be important is for the strategic thinkers is to get a glimpse of what you're thinking as part of this whole thing now. Question is, well, so what? What's the value?
Do we put biliteracy in there?
Biliteracy?
And STEM?
STEM, yeah.
No, maybe not. Why don't you write that one down?
Did you put uptown?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Can I ask?
Biliteracy? Uptown. To me, that means it's an economic center, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That song by Billy Joel.
That idea.
Downtown girl.
Have you been to Uptown Dallas?
Yeah.
No. Uptown?
Is that basically on the bars?
Like another city.
Basically,
area.
you're attracting economic development here as part of that, which means jobs for your students, learning opportunities, tax base, all of that stuff. All right. So the question is, some of these are actual value statements. Others are ways to address and get to those values as part of that. So we'll
we'll start taking a look at then identifying those things and making a connection to the visions that are part of that. All right. Excellent. There must have been something in the water that got the juices going. Reflections, next step. Okay, so we're at the decision point. The question is, this is now the start of the foundation of the strategic, of the environmental scan, of the strategic thought. We've got essentially the thinking process and the planning process left to do. So we have actually three options. The superintendent came up with a third option. And the first option...
You're throwing all this stuff on the floor.
Yeah. And on his hands. Yeah. We'll get to that. In fact, if you just put him down there, I'll tape him down so that the staff can actually put common thoughts together.
Put my initial one.
Okay, so we've got essentially three or more 2 or 3 hour evening workshops if you want to do it this way. And one option is to have the board and the staff, the leadership team, proceed with the planning process. Another option is to, what some districts have us work with, is a strategic thinking team. Some board members, some leadership team, community, parents, students, and this will typically take one or two sessions totaling 8 to 9 hours.
Why wouldn't you, just as a question, why wouldn't you include the community in option one?
Could, yes.
Just because you would want them to hear outside.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Feedback.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I didn't say feedback either.
Oh, it kind of gets out of hand.
Well, no, I'm saying like one representative, like a...
Lily?
No. She's on CBAC. We can bar her from doing
that. Yes, that you're not
please
restricted.
Don't tell her. She knows where I live.
You can decide who your team of strategic thinkers are for any of these options. This basically resolves Saturdays is not an option, which was the original thought. The third option is to have the leadership, your leadership team, with some community representation, to work through the next two steps, the thinking and the planning, and then come back to the board for your refinement, review, and endorsement.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Mm-hmm.
That's a third step?
That would be a third option.
Third again?
Three.
The third option. Okay, so the third option that the superintendent is proposing is to have his leadership team, if there's a board member or two that wants to play, that would be fine, and a community member, whatever, that wants to play, that would be fine. But it's basically his leadership team then creating and walking through the strategic thinking process, capturing, by the way, this would be a foundation of the thought that you gave us today would be a foundation then for the thinking and the planning. And we will come back to you with the value proposition, the vision, mission, all those things for you to review, revise, refine, and then resolve that that's what you want. Yes?
I have one really overarching request. It happens every time. The community spends time. We just spent time. Let me back up a minute. We have just spent a couple of hours doing all of this.
Correct.
And I'm hoping what I'm hearing you say is this is the foundation. And you are going to take what we've said and give it to them.
Correct.
And not open it up and let them make up their
correct
whole new
yes
thing.
That's why we did this today.
Because historically it comes back and they go, gee, no matter what we say, you all turn it down.
Correct.
Well, there's a reason.
Yes. Yeah,
and that's
why
whatever that reason is,
that's why
it makes us look bad every time.
Yeah, and quite frankly, the endorsement of the plan is a responsibility of
the board.
The board working in it's a team of 8. Oh yes,
that has to be.
We don't want to go 2 different directions.
Yes,
that well, the community and the
they wanted this
staff said they want all this different stuff, and you know it's really nothing.
And how with the board?
Yeah, and you all have just wasted your time.
I hear you. Yes.
Okay.
That's why the recommendation.
These are their only choices to work in these parameters.
Yeah, that's why the third recommendation that was made.
But we want to give them some.
They have a lot of.
Well, yeah.
We're going to China. They
just defined the direction.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to China.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not going to Singapore. Not going uptown.
Yeah. No uptown.
as part of so what is your pleasure? Third option?
Third option.
Third option.
Okay. And so we will work with the superintendent then to schedule that, work him through the results of today's session. We will, by the way, document this stuff. It'll go to the super by no later than Tuesday or Wednesday to get it back to the players here today to give any final feedback before then we schedule the next two sessions with your staff.
The one thing that we forgot, and I can't believe Senor Sacchi would have brought it up, is addressing our issues with our Spanish-speaking population.
Yeah.
It is a huge focus that we've undertaken against the state, really, because they're not doing it right, and we want to be one of those.
Throw that one in.
I did.
Okay.
The torchbearer for the state to do it differently, because I don't think anybody's done it right.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you where your control factor is. We're going to work on a value proposition profile, not unlike that pink sheet. Mm-hmm. And actually, we've started, but a lot of what you've shared with today is going to get reflected in there. Once you decide this is what we're about, this is who we're serving, and here's our elevator speech about where areas of emphasis are, then that'll be then the linchpin as to how you bring accountability to not only your strategic goals, but more importantly, your strategic initiatives. So as an example, CTE, Kate, I heard heavy emphasis on that, which is music to the ears of the business community because that's where they're focused, okay? If that's part of your value proposition profile, then that's got to be an impact statement relative to what value you hope to do in that case as part of that. Now, take comfort that this is not cast in concrete. If there's something that you come up with, something you come up with in the next 2 hours, 2 weeks, or in the next...
I'm taking my post-its home.
Okay, that's fine. In the next 12 months, and you can only do these post-its. Yeah.
Down.
Bueno. Yeah, I'm gonna tell my staff we gotta buy two guys a lot of post-its. That's not a problem. But take comfort in the fact that that you're the ones that are elected to then take a look at what's in the plan and what needs to get reflected as part of that. Yeah. All right. Okay. So are you comfortable with that?
Will you? Obviously, you're going to compile all this. You're going to give it to Dr.
Galavis. Yes.
Dr. Galavis, will you then put it in the Thursday packet or something for the board so we know what we look like? And
Yes.
I like that orange.
I like the socks.
Yeah, I will try. I committed to, normally it's 5 business days, but I committed to no later than this Wednesday to get this documented to you, but it'll probably be earlier than that. All right, and so as soon as your job is once you get it is to review it, comment, and whatever else we need to integrate as part of that.
My babysitter turns into a pumpkin
At
8 o'clock.
Well, we're done. I just wanted to say thank you for your engagement. We've decided on a plan. We've got a lot of what we wanted to get as part of that. Thank you. Look forward to it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You just missed the meeting, Rachel?
Let's finish it up. One thing that I've learned to be real important, I love the music, is reflections on what you've done here today. One or two words, and we'll start with Letty and go around real quick. Your observations about what you've defined today.
Patience.
I can't hear because of the music.
Reflection. Reflection on your work today as a team.
A reflection.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about what you've done here today?
Probably the first time that we feel. I personally feel that there's a certain direction that we're all taking, and we're putting sort of the spikes down on that railroad going in a certain direction.
Okay.
That's what it feels like. Progress to me.
Progress. Okay. Great. Excellent.
Coming into this meeting, I thought strategic. We're going to sit there. But I've got to tell you, you made it interesting, and you brought it together, and I thank you, because I stayed awake.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad we kept you awake, but you did much more than just stay awake. Well, that's good. I told you I had the easy part. You guys did the hard part, which is the thinking. All right.
You're very Lauren. Motivating. I echo Patsy. I mean, we were all boom, 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 down like, oh. You did an excellent job. The time passed quickly. You're very well versed in your subject, and I look forward to the outcomes.
So do I.
Well, yeah. I look forward to continuing to work with you, Armando.
Opportunity.
I'm just glad I had the opportunity to hear your views about, you know, the direction that you want to take, because I do think that, you know, the board is, you know, the governing body, and that's, you know, what administration should echo. So
excellent.
I learned a lot. Thanks.
Excellent. Super.
Can I add something?
Yes.
Dr. Velez, I'm going to answer.
Yes, ma'am.
I said right now patient.
Yes.
You know, I said I was very patient. So it's the expectation of the unexpected. So that's what I said by patience, because I didn't know what to expect. So
good.
Thank you.
Well, good.
How are you versed on a lot of this educational stuff?
I have, I'll be honest with you, when I left IBM, I've been doing this for 21 years. When I left IBM, I dealt nothing but for-profit companies. But little by little, I started working with school districts, and I just got enamored with schools. So probably 80% of what we do is with school districts, yeah. And so we love, we've done over 360 plans, formal plans, everything from the medical school to UCLA to, so we get a perspective. Yeah, I know. my brother's a USC grad. He's never forgiven me for that. But let me tell you, I think we appreciate the role that you play. And if you're not excited about kids and their future, you're in the wrong business. And I think this is a great time to be a board member, in particular a board member in this district, because of a lot of things you put up there, but in particular your size. You have an opportunity here to show other districts how it should be done. And I'm just excited for you, and I look forward to continuing to work with you guys.
I will say that I've seen the outcome of you on workshops with CEA, because I partner with Gilbert Jorgensen.
Okay.
So I've seen what
he's a good
produce,
man.
And it's accountability.
Yeah.
That document, to me, I was like, wow, this tells you who's in charge of what. Did they do it?
Yeah.
And it was great. Yeah. It's a really pervasive document where you see every aspect of this strategic plan is enumerated, just this pink sheet, but then you go into the details. Who is responsible for that? What is a timeline?
Yeah, we're gonna show you ways to bring some ownership, and you're gonna get excited about being able to affect change quicker than you think.
Okay.
Super. Your final thoughts.
No, I was, you know, when you breathe. How am I going to be hit with the gavel?
No.
And I get it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you said. Because what we did in August, there was stuff. But this is the vision. This is bigger.
Yeah.
This is about the future. And this is how, you know, you pointed the direction. And so I really appreciate it. And again, to bring an expert like Mr. Moreno was, because I know he can do a lot better job than I, so but I appreciate it.
Well,
I'm just kind of very interested on the direction and it just.
We'll see how that plays out this morning.
Your mind's working right now.
Huh? Yeah.
He took pictures of the dots, that's all I'm going to say.
I put them in my bedroom. But I know not to give sticky pads to. Thank you. I appreciate you all.
All right. Thank you. We'll give the evening back to you.
All right. Awesome. Oh, we got to close it.
Okay.
Officially.
Okay. This brings us to adjournment, and it is 7:56.
I object.